It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Welcome back to Golf DMV. Ladies and gentlemen, on your podcast platforms, wherever you find us, also on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, if you're in the DMV, on Sundays at 7:30 and 8 o'clock. Brought to you in part by Cache Spine Sports. Go to golfdmv.com. You can learn more about Dr. Smith there. Of course, Lawrence Brooks is in our virtual studio, sponsored by no one. And so if anyone wants to sponsor the virtual studio, by virtual studio, I mean just us doing it on Zoom. Right. You know, you're free to do that. Just email us, golfdmvemail@gmail.com. Oh, golfdmv. What's the email? Golfdmv. Is it golfdmvemail@gmail.com? Or is that one of my other ones? No, it's golfdmv@gmail.com.
There you go.
Golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com.
All right. So this
No. I thought we had, because of the new website now, we have new email addresses.
Right.
Yes.
ClaudeJennings@golfdmv.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's one that's just info. Just go to the website. Just go to golf. Good Lord. Just go to golfdmv.com, everybody. There's a thing that says contact. You can send us whatever you want. It'll come straight to us.
It is obvious that I'm just the pretty face on the show. I'm the host. I don't know what's happened. So,
I think the equipment is yours. That's how you got in charge.
So just go to the website. You can contact us there.
Yeah, golfdmv.com. Just go there.
Yeah, if you want to sponsor. So the virtual studio, Vern is in here as well. A lot to catch up on. We've got a couple rounds that we've got to talk about. But first, you know, obviously the big story is the Masters. Dustin Johnson wins at a record pace. Yeah. The Masters get the green jacket. A couple big stories, and we can just go around. We'll go around the room. I'll start, and then we'll go Vern, then we'll go LB. The one thing for me, or the first thing I'll talk about, is the emotion that DJ showed after winning. Amanda Bellone is sitting there interviewing him, and he couldn't get the words out. And the thing that's so interesting is that he number one, he always seems like he doesn't care. And that's always a recurring joke, not just on this show, but on many other golf shows, that, DJ don't care, DJ doesn't care. It showed that DJ cared. But even in his caring, he seemed a bit, like, even getting choked up, it just seemed nonchalant about being choked up. It's just so funny to see this dude. But it's obvious that he cares. He wanted to win that Masters. He wanted to get that green jacket. He talked about, you know, growing up as a kid, for, you know, close to here. It means so much. And he talked about the work that it took, you know, and we've seen it in the last 3 or 4 years that DJ has taken his game, his practice to another level using, you know, the technology, the TrackMan, and dialing his wedges and things like that. And he won the Masters. So one of the big takeaways for me in DJ's win was the emotion. Vern.
Yeah. So I only had two takeaways. One of them was that, one of them was the emotion. I was surprised. I was like, look at this dude. He's like not a machine. He's not completely aloof. He was never a machine. That would be somebody else. But he's not completely aloof. He actually isn't in touch. He's a person. So I thought that was pretty dope. But my big takeaway, man, was the obvious target would be Bryson right now. I'm not. Let me on the front end. Let me just say I'm not coming out against. I'm the distance guy. I'm not coming out against distance. I understand it. But I had a conversation with a buddy of mine who doesn't watch golf. It was a sports conversation because I was just trying to understand what I was watching. As he was hitting balls into the woods and his face. I mean, listen, Keisha doesn't watch any golf. She came downstairs, I think, whatever day that was, he took the he had to take the drop when they couldn't find it. I think that was the second round.
Was that when he was always talking about that? Well, if I can't find the ball, does it count as a
a lost ball? And good, God bless the official for being so cool. Exactly what it is.
That's what it says.
Anyway, so she came downstairs right as that was happening, and without knowing anything about the situation, just looking at his face, he just looked uncomfortable the entire time. So the conversation, the sports conversation we were having, I was trying to figure out what this compares to in other sports. He's we're very metrics based in baseball now. You know, it's either a strikeout or a home run. Basketball, the three ball is the king. And there's a conversation happening in those sports where it's like, hey. Listen, you can balance it where we have the math and the stats, but then you also have a feel for the game. And so my buddy who doesn't watch any golf, we came down to what we called it was tactics plus ability. You have, just because you have the ability to do something, to shoot 46 threes or, you know, to swing for the fences every time, doesn't necessarily mean you should to every single time. Take your ability and match it with the tactics. So Bryson, 380, cool. You know, the greens, right? Like the one he lost, it was like, well, it was just off the green. Well, you know what? The hole was short enough and you have regular tour distance length. How about just dropping in the fairway 100 yards? Is 100 yard west shot too much for you?
Right.
Right.
So the tactic part of this for people who are listening is maybe after like the third or second errant tee shot, it's maybe it's not going well. You fall back and say, okay, cool. Yep. I'm going to go ahead and just play some traditional golf.
Plan B.
It's not like,
go to plan B.
Exactly. It's not like you're short, but you stick with this math. And this is where you get the situations like for those who watch baseball in the World Series, where there was a whole thing with the I can't remember the Rays pitcher. I mean, the Rays manager pulling the pitcher. Pulling Snell out early. Mm-hmm. These types of things. That's how you lead to, you know, James Harden shooting, you know, 48 threes against, I think it was Golden State. He shot them out of the situation. All these things, tactics and ability. You have the ability just because you can doesn't mean you should. Get a feel for the situation and then fall back. Because I think he could have legit been in contention if he just gets his confidence under him and plays a regular round of golf. I just thought it was – at first it was like, oh, look at what's happening to this guy. Then after a while, his facial expressions and just how sad he was, I was like, I can't watch this dude. No, stop showing this dude. They stopped following him around.
Get him off the TV.
Get him off the TV,
And I couldn't have been happier because, like, I know. Things are now back right in the golf world. Bryson DeChambeau is, you know, back to being a dork. You know what I mean? And
par 67.
Yeah, this is I mean, listen, we talk about it all the time. You don't can't tempt the golf gods. Don't you cannot tempt the golf gods. And here's what he did. And to your point, Vern, I mean, and then we'll get to LB. As far as, you know, if you can do it, I mean, you shouldn't. You got to get a feel for whether you're on or not. And golf is one of those sports. You talked about James Harden. Some shooters know it's just not my night. You know what I mean? And sometimes you're okay with them shooting their way out, but sometimes they'll shoot themselves out of the game. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. And at some point, he's got to say, okay, the long ball's not working today. Let me just not shoot myself out of contention. Let me dial it back, and then let's see what happens in the next round. Let me, you know, and play it that way. But he, you know, I guess when you're lost the way he was lost, and just looking around, I mean, and asking questions. If I can't find the ball, does that count as a lost one? It's like,
well, how long you been playing this game, man? Come on.
I mean, but it's like he's obviously rattled because like the very definition of something lost is that it can't be found. Like, and he's smart, like, you know, Matt.
He's a smart dude.
You don't know what lost is, and so you know he. So, yeah, I mean, you know, he if he could have dialed back, which I mean, I'm glad he did. I'm glad that, you know, he's talking to, you know, it's a par 67 for me, all this other kind of stuff. But don't forget, Brooks said this about a year ago or 2 years ago, talking about how the Masters, I mean, how the majors are easier. He said because half the people are going to shoot themselves out of it in the first round or something like that, or going to be out of contention, you know, halfway through, and that's exactly what happened to Bryson. To bring Brooks back into it. So anyway, LB, what a thought of yours?
Yeah, I got quite a few. I don't know where to start. Tiger, of course. I had to go. I watched it like 3 times on highlights.
You talking about the bad?
Yeah, the bad Tiger. Yeah,
I still haven't seen it.
Oh wow, yeah, it was
the whole 12 or something like that. Because Glenn told me he couldn't look away. He said it was like a car accident.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he put three in the water. He put 3 in the water. Yeah, so he hit up first. You know, he had good spot in the fairway. He hit up, and he had too much spin on it. Took it back into the water. So he goes to the drop area, which is right in front of the green, over the water. He hits it over again. Same thing. Too much spin. It comes back into the water. Mm-hmm. The next one he hits long into the sand trap behind it, but he's got a really awkward lie, and he chips up. And blades it. Oh, no, I don't really blade it, but he hits it up, and it's got too much speed, and it goes into the water.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. So this
is the same hole that last year Molinari put into the water, where he immediately recognized his opportunity, and he cool.
Yeah, exact same hole. Exact same hole. Mm-hmm. So, but to Tiger's credit, and we got to give him credit for this, is the next 6 holes he went 5 birdies after that.
I saw the aftermath,
and that you got to give the man credit, because if it was me and I had shot a 10, I'd have been in the car drinking the rest of the round. And most other people would have been done. I mean, of us, and even in the pros, that can come back from something like that.
Right. We've seen it at the Masters. We've seen Jordan Spieth unable to. Exactly. He hasn't even been able to rebound his career since then. Exactly. I mean, his career ended. You know, this domination of Jordan Spieth and how great he could be stopped. And that Masters, I guess it was 2017 or whatever, 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ain't been the same. He has not been the same since.
Ain't been the same since. Yeah.
The other couple quick ones.
He also was one who tempted the golf gods by saying, yes, he did. You know, golfers strike fear in the hearts of these guys when they see me on the leaderboard. And since then, no one has ever been afraid. Of
no one has ever been afraid.
Exactly.
Like, we're
more surprised. Jordan, who? Oh, Jordan Spieth made the cut.
Wow, how about that?
Right. Interesting.
Two more quick things. Bernard Langer made the cut. Oldest man ever.
I love him, man.
To make the cut and actually competed. I mean, he was minus three. He finished at T29.
Right.
My other little quick point was the third round, you had the world number one, two, and three.
Mm-hmm.
All tied up there, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? They all, well, two of them, the moonwalk.
Yeah, came straight back. Yeah.
Couldn't live up to it. Heard a stat, DJ, Tiger, and Jordan Spieth, the only two current golfers right now to have won the Masters and the U.S. Open.
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, huh, that's it.
But right, because Phil has never won a U.S. Open, right?
No, he has not.
Right.
And what's our guy? You know, Brooks has never won a Masters.
Right.
Nope.
You know,
neither is Rory.
Rory hasn't won a Masters.
Right. And give him credit too. He came back out because his first round, he was looking terrible.
Rory had the Masters blow up early in his career. That's what it
right.
was. Where
right.
he led three easy rounds. Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, and again, he started off real slow. But then caught back up, and then you know, if things had went extremely well for him in the final round. He almost played himself back into it.
He sure did,
right. was just DJ. And I don't know, guys. I mean, what is it? DJ's been on tour for 13 years, 14 years, or something like 12, and has won at least once every year that he's been on tour.
So, yeah.
And no, I don't think
it's
anyone else has
that.
Done
is it. Is it 16 or 17? No, yeah, it's not that much yet.
How many ever, Vern will look that up, but how many ever years or seasons he's been a pro? He's won at least once every single year. And no one's done that. And we talk about it all the time, half the time in the early part of his career, it's like he didn't even care or try, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was partying and all other kind of stuff. You know what I mean? He had the drug stuff going on. And
2007, 13 years.
See? And so imagine if for that first half, he was grinding out and trying to get better the way he was. Now, he could easily have be the most dominant golfer in the last 13. Almost that. He's the most consistent. I'll say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you can almost say he's the most dominant golfer the last 5 years or so.
So the math is basically almost two wins per year. He's got 24 PGA Tour wins in 13 years. Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's weird because he's always like you said, there was a period and he's definitely got that monkey off his back from before Whistling Straits when he had the whole sand dune situation. It was like, oh, can he win the big one? No, he's won the big one. He's won almost like all the other ones too. Mm-hmm. And he's another one that like we'll get to the bet stuff later, but because he was the only one that saved us. But in the early rounds, I'm just kind of watching him. I'm like, okay, he's down there. And he'll be in the mix at the end. I wasn't expecting him. Nope, just shot right up there. Everybody else just flailing out, just falling back to earth. So
His game, his all-around game was just – he was just on point. It was nothing – there was nothing bad about his game this weekend. Everything was on point, especially his iron play. And his iron play, when he talked about, like you said earlier, Claude, how he put in the time to really get his irons, especially his wedges, dialed in. I mean, he hits those things with so much confidence. He knows exactly where to hit them, how far he's hitting them. And when you leaving yourself, you know, 8 and 10 footers for birdies, you make half of them, you're doing okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're gonna win.
In the typical DJ way, walking off after the win with his fiance. Are they married yet? Him and Paulina? Are they engaged?
I don't think so. I don't think they're married. They got kids, though, right?
And he grabs her butt. I mean, and while they're walking off right then on the television.
Yeah.
So I downloaded the picture and I sent it to my wife. And I was like, see, I'm not the only one. Don't get mad at me. He did it on national television. You know what I mean? which is fine. But if I just won the Masters, I would do the same thing. And you know what I mean?
With two hands.
Right, exactly.
Same. I do it at Giant. He does it at the Masters.
Right. Exactly. I'm at the grocery store and he's doing it at the Masters. Exactly, right. So congratulations to DJ. I couldn't be happier. So let's see. Let's take care of the Manny Millions for the Masters, and then we'll go through our bets.
All right. Well, let's
Vern's.
Yeah. Well, let's just talk about some people before we get to the Manny Millions. Phil Mickelson finished at T55 plus three. Bubba Watson plus four for 57th. Your boy Snedeker, 59th at plus seven. Couple of names didn't make the cut. Matt Kuchar, Stenson, Gary Woodland. What's up with him? I mean, does he even
He said, I won the U.S. Open. I'm good, champ.
Yeah, apparently, because he ain't. Yeah, because he
said, what you mean, what's up with me? I got a major.
Right, exactly. I got my one and I'm done. I don't need another one because he apparently he's not going to get another one the way he's playing. Boy, Matt Wolf didn't make the cut. Let's see who McDowell. Yeah. Jason Day, plus four, missed the cut. Yeah, Francisco Molinari, he's done jack since that year before last, 2 years, 2 seasons ago now.
Yeah.
That he was in, he was, he won, what did he win? The U.S. Open? No, it was the British Open, wasn't it? I forget now. What did he win?
A major somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think it may have been a British Open. Or the Open, I'm sorry.
Right. There you go.
I'm learning. See, I'm slowly learning. Our boy Lucas Glover, he got his ass beat yesterday because he missed a cut. Let's see, that's about it. Vijay Singh withdrew. I'm not sure what happened to him. He probably just got tired of shooting the 12 or whatever. Like, I'm calling it a day. okay, so let's get on to the Manny Millions. All right, so Manny Millions for this week is our friend, or at least Manny's friend, Mr. Jimmy Walker, who I just mentioned the other day, who was saying what's going on with Jimmy because he's been missing a lot of cuts. So he made the cut this time, and he came in last place at the Masters. I even wonder how he even got into Masters because he hadn't even done squat for a while.
Been a minute.
Yeah, I don't know. So we have to look that up. Got to get a research intern. So he finished at plus eight. He won $25,760.
Okay.
Mr. Walker is 6'2", 180 pounds. He's 41 years old. He's long on a tooth, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. From Baylor University. They didn't say what his major was, so maybe he did not graduate. I'm not sure. They didn't say. he's married with two kids. He turned pro in 2001. But he only played the first 4 years. I think he played like one or two tournaments in those years. And around 2005, he really started to get a full PGA schedule in.
Okay.
So y'all ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Mr. Walker. Again, he went pro in 2001, but really didn't start getting a lot of tournaments until 2005.
Okay.
He has six wins. Okay. He has four second places, three third places, and 45 top tens. 45 top tens. 350 events. He's made 227 cuts.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Right. So he's been on tour, basically 19 years now. Okay, Mr. Jennings.
All right. It's a lot of made cuts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of top tens. I'm gonna go high here. We'll see if it's high. I'm gonna go 13 million.
Okay.
More than 13 mil.
I think it's a little bit more than that for all that. I'm gonna go ahead and put him at about 25 mil.
Okay.
Now since I play golf with you, Vern, so I know you don't cheat.
Jesus.
I know you don't cheat. So I'm gonna
don't.
You don't cheat.
Yeah.
You call it when you put it in the woods, you say up, drop stroke. Keep it moving, right?
It must be 25.
Right. It's 25.7.
Whoa.
Back in the driver's seat, baby.
Bam.
Back in the driver's seat.
All right, a little bit about Mr. Walker. He learned to play from his father, who was a scratch golfer. He met his wife, Erin, who at a Corn Ferry tournament, she was a volunteer. She must have been looking good over there in that little green schmuck or whatever. And he hollered at her. And now they married, couple kids.
Nice.
She is a equestrian competitor. Her father, name is Mark. In 1975, was the freestyle skiing champion of the world.
Whoa!
He got some athletes in the family.
Yeah.
And Mr. Walker is an avid astrophotographer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of his photos have actually been used by NASA for the photo of a day.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So must got a really good telescope too, I would assume.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah.
Photography's his passion.
Not this little piece of crap I got over here, somebody.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before we move from the Masters, just one thing about majors. It's weird because it's like we can't do a show without talking about how ignorant people can be. And so I just want to put, just some people in the golf universe on blast. So I love following Lisa Cornwell from the Golf Channel. She's always putting people out there who are saying things, whether it's racist or, misogynist, whatever. So anyway, there was someone on Twitter or whatever commented that, I think it was Steve Sands that said, that outside of Abraham Ancer, like no Mexican player has gotten this close or something like that to winning a Masters.
Oh no.
Or a major. And then so then someone responded and said, you know, I don't know, you're wrong about that, Steve Sand. What about, you know, Elena Ochoa? You know what I mean? You know, who won one, a women's major. Because okay. He's talking about no Mexican player has won a major, right? So he brings up Elena Ochoa. And then someone responds back and says, you know, stop with all that, you know, like political correctness stuff or whatever. It's like, you know, she didn't win a major. She won a women's major. And that's different, you know, or something like that. And so Lisa jumps in and says, and says, here we go again, you know, something along the lines of someone, you know, people showing their stripes again. And, no. And says, what if I should just do a forum with Serena Williams and Annika Sorenstam and says, hey guys, all those majors you guys won in your sports, they don't count because they're women, women's majors. Right. Come on, guys, go back to the Stone Age, wherever you come from. Like, honestly, these people make me sick when they say stupid stuff like that.
Women's majors. See, it's for the penalty for that person, assuming he was a guy, he must have been a guy. The penalty for that person should be, cool, well, if they're women's majors, we're going to go ahead and set you up. You're just going to play one casual round of tennis with Serena, mm-hmm. and then just one casual round of golf with the LPGA golfer you're choosing. Women's major, whenever you're choosing. And we'll just see how you do.
Why don't you play in these majors and you know, win a women's major, and let's see if you can actually do it.
Won't
at all. Couldn't. Okay. Anyway, I'd like to just do that. I mean, because we got to show, because people, athlete stuff doesn't exist. You know what I mean?
Like, that's true.
And that it's like normal, or it's okay. Oh yeah, women can't tee off here till 1 p.m. on Sundays. That's the only day they get, and that's fine. It's like, that's not fine. Like, what are you talking about? Anyway. Let's see. So let's go to some of our rounds. We played on Friday.
We're gonna do the betting.
Betting. Yeah, that's quick, right. Almost went. No. Yeah. Go right ahead. Sorry about that.
No. Real quick. This ain't gonna take long because we took a lot of L's. So we had four.
I thought we was winning. Okay, go ahead.
Look. Well, oh, it's funny. You just had to say something to say about that. Excuse me. I forgot to talk. we had four slips, guys. We had four slips. So we had top five. So one of the best was Abraham Ancer placing the top five, and he was doing it. He was going back. This was plus 3,000. This was 30-1. This was paying big.
Okay.
This would have covered us, and we would have. Now, I did a couple of clubs there where it's like, well, not the show money, but Vern's money, because this was plus 3,000. So if we win this, if we win all these slips, it's a great deal of money. So I guess next time I'll just pocket that.
Right. Exactly.
We took an L there. I was disappointed, man. I was following Abraham. I took a flyer on Abraham when we made the Masters picks. I was like, man, this guy shows up big, and he was right there, and I think he ended up seventh, maybe not seventh. He was outside
now,
the top
10.
He was outside the top 10.
So, yeah, he was T13 at minus eight.
Yeah, just kind of fell at the top. Yeah. LB's pick for the dark horse was Brendan Todd. I was rooting for him. Yeah, I was rooting for him.
I don't think he made the cut.
I know. I was like, okay, that's an L. That was plus 1,200. And then really quickly, our last two, our stock picks were, I think Claude's was Xander Schauffele. Mm-hmm. This was to make the top 10, not even top five. This was just to make the top 10. And again, he was, I think, 13th. He was really close. Xander always letting us down. He never closes.
He's got to close. Yeah, as a sports cliche says, he's got to learn how to win.
Schauffele was T17 at minus 7.
17. Okay, 17. He was plus 140. And then the only bet we won was Dustin Johnson to place in the top 10. That was even money. That was plus 100 on the one bet. So we got our, you know, little piddly little mount back or whatever. But Abraham almost got his pay, bro. Abraham was right
there. It was close.
I'll be looking forward to the next major, and we can make our bets,
which is going to be the Masters, by the way.
Yeah. Right. I just thought about that.
And so Abraham Ancer. I mean, well, you know how golf is. I mean, he can mess around and miss the cut. You know,
but exactly. Yeah,
that's true.
What's the name? Yeah, played well too. We got to pay attention to M. Because
Sung JM?
Sung JM, yeah. We got he got to pay attention to him, man.
He did his thing.
He held it together. I mean, he still went minus 3 for the day. I mean, you can't be mad at that.
Colin Morikawa do?
He finished, I just saw him. He finished low down. I mean, I think he was minus 1 or 2 or something like that.
Yeah, and
he was even, a T44.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. And, I had one last thing that I didn't have at the top about the Masters, just really quick. Everyone about the distance wars, like, oh, it's going too far. We need to limit the ball, blah, blah, blah. You saw the first day the grass was wet.
Yeah.
Everybody's drives were just stopping and staying.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So what Ryan Chaney said, which I had the exchange about him, go back and listen to the old show. I was like, hey, how do you do this? He's like, just leave the fairway a little bit longer. Don't make it cement. And, you know, the drives will hit and hold. They're not going to run 40 yards. So that was it. That's all I had to
do. Yeah. And they did. I mean, because a couple of them, I mean, they would hit and go 2 inches. That was it. I mean, they weren't moving at all.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they let the rough grow a little bit longer than they normally would have too, because of the rain as well. Yeah. So it wasn't, even if rough was more of a penalty than it normally would be at the Masters.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I watched it all 4 days. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, I had it on in the car. I mean, I was riding around Sunday and Saturday. I'm, you know, some people on their phone talking, I'm watching golf. So, you know, but it was, I mean, Ricky made the cut. I was happy for him. He made the cut. Yeah, about that. You know what I mean? Because he's been pooping his pants for a long time. And every time I saw Fleetwood, I couldn't help but think about Sierra. Oh, there goes Sierra, boy, his striped shirt looking like a jailbird.
Oh man,
cool. Okay, so that wraps up the Masters. Yeah, we'll have another Masters take coming up in just a few months, because it's the first major of 2021. So we'll talk about that in a few months, I guess. Again, two rounds to talk about. We'll start with Musket Ridge, Friday the 13th. Our buddy Lamar, we talked about him a few times on the show, so folks may be familiar with him. Put together a group. I don't really remember how many folks were there, but it was a nice size group. Maybe 16 folks. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 16. Cool.
Mm-hmm. And so we got out, played. I had a good time. So here's what was interesting. In my mind, when he said Musket, I was thinking Worthington. And so I had my mind all set on what that first tee shot is. You know, you got to kind of go a little bit, you know, right, because there's just nothing but trash to the left with trees and high grass, stuff like that. And it's this big slope. And so when I got there, I was like, oh, wait a minute. It's not that hard first tee shot, because that first off of Worthington and then the one on and hole number one, a Little Bennett, those are two of the hardest holes, I think, to start your round, you know, period. Yes. For me.
Not for everyone. Because for those who don't know, Little Bennett, bro, has an uphill par five that is just, it don't, yeah. So we'll play up. It still plays. It's like, damn, we're still going? Like,
yeah, no, I'm telling you. And and the margin for error, the commonality for both of those holes, the margin for error on the left side on both of those is very small.
Yeah, on the left, yes.
And if I miss 10 times, 9 times out of those 10 misses will be to the left. And once it may hook right, and I'm like, whoa, where'd that come from? Usually it's missed left. And so when I got there, I was relieved. I was so relieved that, oh, good, I got the course wrong. Perfect. So we played with these two guys. I played with both of these guys before. I kept calling one of them Kevin, but I don't think his name is Kevin.
Keith. His name is Keith.
So we played with Keith and Jamar. It was interesting. So, you know, we get up to the first tee box. It was, you know, everybody's kind of got their own thing. They play together all the time. So we hit our tee shots, they hit theirs. And then, you know, we're going back to the cart to go to the balls, and like, oh, where y'all going, man? Breakfast shot. Like, oh, okay. I guess we're going to do it again. And so we tee it up and hit it again. Both of them needed the breakfast shot.
Yes.
I mean, severely. Yeah.
So not your normal thing either. I'll be like sometimes we'll play with Damon and some other partners of ours who like, they're like, hey, I you know, the range is closed or whatever. Get up here, hit your shot. If you need, you know, we'll give you one stroke on the tee, a breakfast ball on the tee. This was just like, they just both hit and said, oh, well, just tee up again.
I'm hit again just because.
Yeah. And yeah, me and Claude were like walking up to the car. I was like, I'm going to just play this ball that I had that I hit into the.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah.
That's in the fairway.
Okay. Yeah. And that continued throughout the day, but I'll let Claude fill you in on how that went for the rest of the day.
Yeah. So here's what I'll say about the round. It was interesting. So, Jamar was keeping score for everyone, which is, you know, whatever, which is fine. It became clear halfway through the front nine that there was a them against us thing.
Right.
They're from
Virginia. They were doing Virginia versus Maryland.
Right.
But they didn't tell y'all this until halfway through the round.
Halfway through maybe the front nine. Like, I kind of got the feel like.
No, Lamar said it at the first tee, Claude.
Did he?
Lamar
I must have missed
Lamar said it up at the first tee. He was like, yeah, we got Virginia versus. He said Virginia versus DC, but he meant Virginia versus Maryland. So from the jump. So it was just a friendly thing. There was no money on the line.
Yeah, for anybody who knows. Yeah.
And that's going to inform some of the stuff I have to say later about this. There was no money.
Okay. All right.
There was no money. But here's what was interesting. Here's what was very interesting. By the time we got to the back nine, I think every single hole, Vern and I were literally putting out while they were looking for their tee shots.
Yeah.
Wow.
And somehow there were marks of par and bogey. And I was just like, wow. Like, we were literally on the green waiting for 4 minutes. Right. And somehow, now I will say this. not Kevin Keith. The scores he was saying for himself seemed realistic to me, yes. given yes. where his balls were going, mm-hmm. his overall demeanor and how frustrated he was. Some of the words that were coming out, you know, so that was like, that made sense. Now I'm not counting anyone else's strokes. You know what I mean? Right. Like versus, there's no money in there. You know, I'm here to have a good time. I don't know if I trust Jamar's score on taking those. I mean, I'm sitting there looking at the tee box. I mean, there wasn't one. There was, I don't even think he had a driver in his bag. It was. You hear par, but when you see physically seven strokes,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And the one time where we were watching, like, okay, here's a struggle. We got it, and we counted them before. And I wish Keith didn't do this before. Jamar said anything. Keith said, "How many is that for you? Plus two or something like that?" And
yeah,
he's like, "Yeah, it is. Yeah, six." He's like, "Yeah." And so, like, I wanted him to give the opportunity to say,
"Right,
I got a bogey or I got a par." Okay, on now, right. And so I wanted to, but there was a lot of that going on.
So, and y'all never called him out on it?
No, there was no money on the line. It was fine.
Okay,
it was all fine. Right. So it was funny. It didn't get to be a joke at the end. It'll be on that same hole. So Claude and I both lost our drives on that particular hole. And so, you know, we go over there like way by the side of the woods and we drop or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're like way in the back or whatever. I think he lost his too. And
by way in the back, I mean, we're talking like drives were getting maybe past the like front tee boxes.
Okay.
Consistently. Like that's where they were lost.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like all the way back there. So he's back there for a good minute.
50 yard drives, basically.
Yeah.
Topping them and stuff like that.
With a par and a bogey.
And so after all this whole round of him just kind of, you know, being real creative with the stuff, and I'm going to tell you about the putting green stuff in a second. You know, we lost our drives. We hit up. We're on the green. And then, like, as he's pulling up to his, like, ball, which must be his, like, fifth shot or whatever, he's like, "Oh, did you guys find yours?" I was like, "Don't check on me." And we took a stroke, as if we've been being creative. So, right. So again, cool dude. It was a good time. But the thing that would have, and this is why I told Claude, I said, we got to get Coach Howard. We got to get David, one of these guys who like to gamble out here. It was a lot of this, LB. It was a lot of, like, they get on the green. He might have, like, a 20-foot, like, a long lag putt. Mm-hmm. Okay, he'd lag it to, like, It got increasing. He lagged it like 4 feet.
Right.
Could even be six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and they're picking up.
Par.
Wow. And no one's giving it. No one's giving it. Like, no one's giving it.
Oh, they take it.
He just walks up like, "Oh, I'll take that bogey. I'll take it for par.
He does the low effort tap. You know that move where it's like, we do it sometimes, but we'll do it for like a 1 footer.
It's inside of 2 feet.
Yeah. You're like kind of faking, like, "Oh, I would have made that, blah, blah, blah." But he's doing that from like 4 feet, just picking it up by par.
And then just tap it to the hole, and then it doesn't even go
right, on. Right, exactly.
Yeah, that was
as if it was a given he was going to make it. It's like, you know, number one, this is not your fourth shot.
Right. Number two, I ain't seen you make a putt all day.
But number two, we've been on the green for 6 minutes waiting for you to hit the ball up here.
You got a bogey, Slim. Like that it was for 40 minutes. You get nothing. Yeah. So next time we play with them, if I don't have Coach with me, I'm going to go, you know what? Front nine, back nine, and then overall. And we're going to do, you know, $5. So it doesn't even need to be much.
Well,
then what's going to happen? I told Claude what's going to happen is his old man is going to start checking him out. We won't even have to worry about it. He's like, "Oh, no. Hold up. That was 6, 7, 8, 9. That was 10.
And by the way, and you count my strokes and I'll count yours. That's what we're going to do. You count mine. Feel free to. And I'll make sure that I count yours. And I got a calculator on my phone. I can add it all up. Don't even worry about it. And it was funny because at the turn, he counted like the individual scores. And he said, "So I think I had the lowest at that point."
You did.
And he was like, "Oh, yeah, I guess the guy," because I was keeping it in the fairway. He's like, "That's the guy keeps keeping it in the fairway. What did he say?
He said it makes sense that the guy
keeping it in the fairway is the one who's got the low score front nine." Like, well, yeah. I mean, that's normal. You know,
how it works.
Yeah, you want to keep it in the fairway. And so,
yeah.
Personally, I felt good about my game. I felt like I played, and we talk about something. I played better than the scorecard indicated. You know what I mean? Off the tee box, I was good. My irons were fine. Putting was off, but. It's always, you're always off.
Yeah, it's always off.
It's drives of money, LB. He's drives of money.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to, and just again. Just
I'm sorry. What did feel good, too, talking about off the drive. So Jamar and Keith are big guys. You know what I mean? Like, they're stocky. You know what I mean? And Vern and I are not. Mm-hmm. And so, but we were striping them balls off the tee box. And I'm talking about 150 yards passing. Wow. I mean, it was, you know, because when you're dribbling it and then you're like slicing and hooking, you know, yeah. stuff like that, man. But I mean, it just felt good to step on a tee box, like boom, boom. And then the big guys get up there and they can't.
And they struggling. Huh?
it was impressive. It was impressive to see Claude like just outbombing these dudes. Like some of his were like legit long though too. Like not uh-huh. even like oh relative. Like they were. He had a lot of good drives that day. And I was like, hey, look, I was like proud. I was like, hey, look at this, because even mine, like I was losing a lot. Right, it wasn't until uh-huh. the back nine that I got some of my drives straight or whatever. So it was pretty dope, man. But it was a good time. I think we came away. I think Claude and I both came away thinking Musket, maybe lightweight better than Whiskey Creek though. Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Better views on more holes, a little bit more challenging.
Well, it's definitely got better view because it's higher up in the mountains. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I would give it the views, no doubt. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've only played it twice, I think, three times.
We got to get back out because I like Whiskey, but and I don't want to try. See, here's the thing.
Tempt him.
I want to tip the golf guys because again, my score went like I shot like an 82. You know what I mean? I think I got like a 94 or something like that. But I feel like I played better. But like the it's the same way I felt about Waverly Woods. Like so if I had to choose between Blue Mash and Waverly Woods, I like Blue Mash better. But Waverly Woods is a more fun course to me to play because there's the challenge. There's things, you know, there's things you got to take into consideration where with Blue Mash, it's pretty much what you see. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's no.
And pretty the same flat thing with, for the most part. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And same thing with Musket, where like, and Whiskey, like Whiskey Creek is a great course. Love Whiskey Creek. You know what yeah. I mean? Top mm-hmm. course in the state, without a doubt. But it's pretty much, you get what you see. It's pretty right in front of you. You know, yeah. You don't have to make too many shots. But with Musket, you do. You've got to think your way a little bit. You know what I mean? You got to play the course some. And it presents its challenges. And I actually like it better than Bully Rock, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. I thought Bully Rock was cool, but I wasn't all that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Super impressed with
you. Yeah, I wasn't super impressed with Bully Rock either, especially after the hour and a half drive.
No, there we go. Yeah. No, so I mean, sweet. Hold on. Let's stay there. Let's stay there because all week last week, guys, for everybody who listens to the show all week, LB is the main road guy. He's always ready down to golf. And I guess just last week he wasn't feeling it because it is. So first of all, he dipped out on the 13th, on the Friday round at Musket way early. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not doing that because we're going to play on Veterans Day. Then – which was the 11th. It was last Wednesday or whatever.
Right.
Then
rained out.
Yep. Yeah, rain happens. He has to cancel that. And so now we're still set up to play Saturday Enterprise. Me, LB, Coach Howard.
Mm-hmm. But before you go there, don't forget, LB was sounding like he was hating on Musket, the fact that we were going to be up there. It was going to rain. I don't know why y'all going out there.
That's what I'm getting to. That's what I'm getting to.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, what happens is, so his round gets rained out. He didn't want to play Friday from a week before, and he's supposed to set up play Saturday. And from that Wednesday on, it was just like you said, like, oh, it's gonna be mud golf there Saturday. I mean, a Friday for y'all on Musket. Like, now he's not even in the round on Musket. He's just telling us, it's like, oh, I don't want to go out there. It's gonna be trash. I was like, come on, just play golf with me. Trash. And then the next day, you know, Enterprise, I'm not sure about Enterprise. It's gonna be trash, mud golf. I hate it. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's gonna be look white. Like, it's so many texts. I say, LB, just if you want to play, bro,
just say you ain't coming.
Just tell me you ain't coming because you're clearly not coming. He didn't say nothing. So I was like, okay, maybe he said he's still down. And then like an hour later, he was like, you know, I'm going to call it. I'm going to call Enterprise. This is going to be garbage out there. Of course, it was beautiful. It was a great day.
It was beautiful.
It wasn't car path only?
It was car path only, but we all get our own individual cars. And it was moving. We played around like 4 hours and 10 minutes. So it was great.
Okay.
But he admitted that he was just in a mood that week. He was just off golf that week, which is fine.
I'm done with golf for that week. But he's back on. He's back.
Yeah, I'm going to play this weekend. But last weekend, I just, you know.
Weren't feeling it.
Yeah, you ever, well, maybe y'all ain't been married long as I have, because there's sometimes you just, you know what, I love you, but I don't like you right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't need to see you right now. So right now, I ain't need to see golf last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. So you're going to get out this weekend with us at Rattlewood then, basically?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's 10 minutes from my house, so absolutely I'm going to that
one. Oh, okay.
Nice. And everything went good Saturday, Vern? I mean, at Enterprise?
Yeah, Saturday Enterprise was good. We played with our old buddy Reggie Reynolds, who's LB's. I was introduced to him by LB. Mm-hmm. He came back from Vegas, hit with us, and, of course, Coach Howard. And so LB, I mean, I'm
How
sorry,
was
Reggie,
that dynamic with Reggie?
Reggie got to meet Coach, and it was great. Coach is like, oh, you played Coast Carolina? He's like, oh, yeah, you know. And then he just immediately, like, because, you know, so Reggie used to hoop. And he, you know, it's, oh, yeah, I know him from Vegas. Yeah, Coach, that's my man. I got a man out of Vegas. And then he just starts telling stories. It's a whole thing. He wants to know about, you know, Coach is in my wedding back in the day. He starts asking about, I don't want to put his new business out there. Anyway, It was a great, great round. Him and Reggie got along famously. It was good. For me and Coach did a, you know, we did front nine, back nine overall. I lost. You can go check out the IG reels. I think it's up there. I lost the front and the overall, but I did win the back with a clutch putt. Nice. You know, on 18 or whatever. But again, that round at Enterprise Club was just like yours, where I it should have been much better than lots of bogeys, tons of bogeys from just three putts or just flub chips. Saving it, but you know, it was there for the taking. Could have easily been like a, you know, 82 or something like that. So,
and I think it had a lot to do with when with off the tee. Like, I think when you're driving the ball well,
yes,
you just feel better about your round. You know what I mean? Yep. Anything else can kind of screw you up, and you may get frustrated if you know you mess up, you know, with 110, you know, to the green or something like that, and you know you chip it long or short, and you two putt it like, ah, I walked away with a bogey or a double when I should have. But the fact that you hit it great off the tee box, I think makes you feel good, you know, that because that's such a hard part of the game. You know what I mean?
It's a good place to start from.
Yeah, I know there's no stat for like confidence, like, and this is true of all sports. There's no stat for confidence or just feeling and everything else. But there's something to be said. Like when you pipe one down there, walking up to your second shot 100 yards out, there's, you know, as opposed to, oh, I'm in the woods, I'm in the cut, and I have to hit this punch. Now, you go, you know, you go from like Bryson DeChambeau nerves to just DJ aloof confidence. Oh, cool. I just knocked this up there. Because even like I said, oh, I topped it. Cool. I topped it 80 yards and it's on the fringe. I can still chip in and putt for par. As opposed to I topped it into the woods and hit a tree. Now the hole is lost.
Right. So, now I got a 10.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun times. So yeah, we'll have Rattlewood next week. Also, we've got an interview with the Pro Duffers DC crew that we're going to air. Because next week is the week of Thanksgiving. And so we're going to air that interview and talk about Rattlewood. But we'll package it all up for you guys. All right, guys, let's go off the DMV.
Well, I'm sorry, before we leave, are we Thanksgiving week? Or is that a weather? I haven't looked at the weather. I think it's going to be dry. Just asking.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't you worry about that. Once we get the 10 days out, I'll be booking. I'll be booking. Okay. I'll let everybody know.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. All right, y'all. We'll catch up next week. Brought to you, by the way, in part by Cash A Sponsor.
Find
the sports. Our sponsor is go to golfdmv.com. Also, if you go to golfdmv.com, you can email the show without me trying to figure out what the email address is. Like I did in the show. All right, y'all. We out.